There are some unbelievable things in the Bible. There are unbelievable things that y'all believe. Right? Some incredible things that we accept as truth because it is presented in God's Word. And through the years, even churches, denominations of people, have decided that they would cut some out because, you know, intellectual people can't accept that. In fact, we had a fellow in our church that came to me, I don't know, maybe a year ago, and he said, "Pastor, I'd really love to see our church grow with young people and educated people and college people, but if you keep preaching some of the things that are in the Bible, they'll never stay." And he meant that. He meant it in sincerity. He believes in Jesus. But he just thinks that there are some subjects that as a church we can avoid and thereby stay out of controversy and keep ourselves from alienating people who are too scientific and not spiritual enough. And I want you to understand that there are some things in the Bible that are not scientific. The Bible even says of itself, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. And if you were to try to convince people, and it's the only explanation that's reasonable, that there was some intelligent designer that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and all the other stuff that followed in the next 6 days, they'll say, I can't believe that as a grown adult you still believe that. Well, I want you to understand, I can't believe that a grown adult thinks we all came from tadpoles. But I can't control what grown adults believe. The only thing I can control is what I preach, is how I surrender to God's leadership through His Word. And there are some unbelievable things, like creation. It's hard to imagine because our minds are limited. It's hard to imagine the opening of the Red Sea, the opening of the Jordan River. And they can come up with explanations for it, but still, the simple explanation that God gave, that Moses raised up his hands and God blew an east wind and the wall of water stood and they crossed over on dry ground. And then the same thing for Jordan when they stepped in the brink of the river and it stopped and everybody went across on dry ground. Hard to believe. They forget that bread fell from heaven in between there and water came from a rock in between there. Forget that God gave his people deliverance among many enemies on the king's highway. They forget that there are other things that are unbelievable, like the fact that God said, "Follow this cloud, and I'm the cloud. Stay here where the fire is here, and I'm the fire." And he filled the temple, the tabernacle, and his presence was so thick that they couldn't enter in. That he shook the mountain, and there was lightning and thundering and like a volcano. And he said, "If you touch the mountain, you die." And Uzzah reached over and touched the ark, and he died. They forget that there are some other unbelievable things in the Bible. Let me explain to you that this Bible is full of incredible, spiritually discerned and spiritually acceptable things that are not naturally conceivable. Jesus raised people from the dead. He cured the mute, the deaf, the blind. The lame walked, the dead rose from the grave. He fed the hungry. He brought food from heaven when there was no food. Brought quail. There was no food. Yes, he's God. He's incredible. He's unbelievable. But that's because he's God. But there are two other most incredible things. Number one, the great mystery of the gospel is, why would a holy, loving, pure God love a sinner like me and you? That's the biggest mystery of all. And why would that God send his only begotten Son to be crucified on the cross as the lamb sacrificed at Passover, the Lamb of God, sacrificed for my sin when he never sinned and I would still sin? You see, the idea that God would, and the Bible even says this, scarcely would one die for a righteous man, but God died for us in our unrighteousness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. So he not only died for our sin, he made us righteous, he saved our souls, he's promised us a home in heaven, and he knew that we would not be perfect after our salvation. That's a great mystery, isn't it? That's the love of God. But there's one that's coming up. The next great event which I believe that churches have strayed away from and hidden from because they say it's unbelievable. But they're not the first ones. Even in the Bible, we were told that there would come scoffers and they would say, where is the promise of his coming? We've been talking about this for 2,000 years. Saying that Jesus was going to come in the clouds and we'll hear the trumpet sound and all those who trust in Christ will be caught up to be with him in the air. We didn't make that up. That's what the Bible says. And so shall we ever be with him. It's an incredible idea. And in fact, there are some who say, well, it's not everybody that believes. There's only a select group. And everybody I've ever met that thinks there's a select group believes they're in that select group. But I believe it's all believers. You might say you might have other ideas. That's fine. But here's the point tonight that I really want to drive home. And you say, well, Pastor, we already believe this. Okay, but there may be some that don't. And maybe some that are challenged by it. Maybe some that are challenged by the argument that it's a doctrine created by believers, not written by Jesus. Well, let's see what the Bible says. How about that? In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 27, Jesus himself said, as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What's he talking about? He was already here, wasn't he? He was walking on the earth when he said that. And so we go to John 14 and he said, if I go, I will come again, right? We'll go back to that verse later. Verse 31, it says, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Well, how many of us live in the physical earthly state in heaven? We live on earth, don't we? But what's going to happen? We're going to be in the air. And they're going to gather us from the heavens. And then go to verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We're not going to change God's book. We're not going to change it. They can try to change it all they want. We're not going to change it. Verse 36, of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What day? That day. We don't know when it's going to happen. We've heard some preachers along the way that said it's coming this year. Someone told me the other day that it's been predicted. I think it was Nostradamus says it's going to happen this year. Actually, I think the prediction is that the Antichrist will be revealed. And how many of you know we're not going to be here when he's revealed? And so that would mean it's this year, right? And if you calculate the numbers, it may not be 23, but it's coming up soon. If you go by the numbers. I don't know when it'll be. I have to go based on this idea. It could be tonight. Wouldn't it be great to wake up in heaven? Go to bed in your own bed, lay your head on your own pillow, and wake up. And you ever do that when you were a kid? You woke up and you were in your room, but you fell asleep on the couch. Or you fell asleep in the car, and then you woke up in your own bed. That's wonderful. But we'll go to bed in our own bed, and we'll wake up in God's presence. That'll be wonderful. I don't know if it'll be tonight. Not saying it will be. Certainly not saying it's not. But as the days of Noah were, verse 37, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Do you take him? I do. Do you take her? I do. May you live happily ever after. Right up until the day. What are all those people doing getting in there? Well, we don't want to go in there. That's a crazy preacher. He's been preaching about rain for 120 years. We don't even know what that is. Water falling from the sky, a big flood. He's built a big old boat so it could float, him and his family. Just a crazy old preacher. Why did he preach that? Because God told him. That's why. Only reason. Why do we preach what's in the Word? Because that's what God said. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Right up until the last day. You say, well, we just keep living our life. Yeah, that's what the Bible said we're going to do. I think you ought to have a will, life insurance. I think you ought to budget your spending. I had a church member ask me 15 years ago, Pastor, if the Lord's coming back real soon, can I just go out and run up my credit cards and use all the credit I got and buy a bunch of stuff? I said, I wouldn't advise that. I've been believing he was coming back now, soon, all my, believer life. And Paul believed it, and Peter believed it, Jesus taught it. But he just said, nobody knows when. And since I don't know when, I got to live like I'm going to have to live this one out. And so I've got to make it last. There shall two be in the field, verse 40. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Why? Because one believed and one did not. That's why. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And what an incredible statement. I don't know when. But verse 43 is the verse to me that launches this entire message and brings the entire message home. He says, know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. If you knew the burglar was coming, you'd be ready. Wouldn't we be ready? I know who y'all are. Y'all be ready. Y'all wouldn't let them break up your house or steal your car or get your stuff. You'd be ready for them. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. So we just got to be ready. We got to be ready. I don't know when the burglars are coming, so I got to lock my doors. I got to get my stuff secure because I don't know when they're coming. I got to be ready. And that's what he's telling us. We got to be ready. I got to have my house in order. I got to have my heart in order. I got to have my prayer life in order. I've got to have my friendship with God in order. I've got to have my usefulness to man in order. I want to stand before God one day and all wore out, don't you? Just all completely wore out and go before God and say, God, I used it all up. When I used to coach ball and when I used to play ball, that was the number one thing. Whether you win or lose, leave it all on the field. Guys, when we get to heaven, we need to have left every effort, every bit of energy here. Because we can't save anybody when we get there. We can't show anybody the gospel when we get there. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Boy, what a thought. That's the key. When you give up looking. When you give up waiting. When you think it's no use. When you think there's no purpose. When you think, well, maybe it's not really going to happen. Because I'm ready for them to come today. I'd be fine with the life insurance keeping their money, wouldn't you? I'd just be gone. I'd be fine with the grave site left empty. That'd be fine. I don't need it. I'm just going home. Verse number 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware of. Guys, we've got to be mindful of the return of Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe the rapture is a biblical doctrine. All of these verses reinforce that it is. He's coming back for us. Chapter 25, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. In this story that Jesus tells, he says it's a long time. It's a long time, but he's coming back. He's coming back, and when he comes back, what's he going to do? He's going to reckon with his servants. There's going to be a time of judgment. There's going to be a time of judgment of our stewardship. We serve him, and we've been entrusted. You know, the Bible talks about us being entrusted with the Word of God. Stewards of the Word of God. That's our stewardship. Verse 37, if you will. Chapter 25. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see, he said, be ready. He said to be ready, and he said, you don't know when, and we don't know to whom we are ministering. We don't know how we're serving, who we're serving. We're supposed to serve. That's our job. That's our calling. Serve. If God hadn't called you to preach, you must be called to serve some other way. Or to be a missionary in a foreign land, then you must be called to serve in some different way. My question is, are we serving? How are we serving? What are we doing to fulfill God's call on our lives? We go to Mark chapter 13. I mean, so far, do y'all accept that this is a Bible doctrine? That Jesus is coming back? All those verses show us that. It's not something some preacher made up. It's in the Word of God. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening, midnight, cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Watch. How many of us see the clouds and look at the sky, maybe through the day, and wonder, is he coming today? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Could this be the day? Beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset, and maybe go out in the night and look at the stars and wonder, could this be the time? He's coming back. He's coming back. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Now I'll go ahead and tell you that one of the risks we take when we don't read all the context of a verse is that we take it out of context. And so let me encourage you, go back and read all the verses around it. That's what he's talking about. He's coming back. Luke chapter 18, verse number 28. Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents, brethren or wife, or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in the present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. God will not leave us in a state where we have sacrificed more to him than he has for us. You believe that? God always pours out his blessings of favor on us. We've never lost anything to God. God is always ahead when it comes to the giving department. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll read that. Try to wind it down. Or if y'all don't want to, I could preach another hour. Up to you. I heard a motion. It was probably Carolyn getting her keys. No. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Y'all see that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. I get it. It's hard to imagine. You know why? Because it's never happened before. It has never happened. And that's the thing that's so incredible for people is they don't believe it because it's never happened. We could take you back in time to where they said that there will never be a man that could run a mile in 10 minutes. Never. I mean, not just among us, but I mean ever, anywhere, right? In 10 minutes, a mile, until somebody did. They said, well, he could do that, but no one could run it in 8 until he did. And it keeps creeping back until now the standard is so much lower than it used to be. You know why? Because it had never been done. Go back and think about the idea. Y'all remember watching that TV show where the guy picked up his shoe and talked into it? Smart, was that his name? Right? And he would talk into it, and we thought, what an incredible idea that we could actually have a phone that didn't have wires. And go back to the beginning of the phone and party lines and all that kind of stuff. But they couldn't believe it because it hadn't happened. It was only in their imagination. And what about those guys that thought they could fly? You know, fly? Like up there? Yeah. People do it every day and think nothing of it. Until it was done, it was unbelievable, incredible, too imaginative, too fantastic. We can't believe that. And there are people who mocked Noah, and they said, there'll never be water falling from the sky, because they'd never seen it, and then it happened. And there will be those who mock the doctrine of the return of Christ, as we refer to the rapture, and him calling us away, until it happens. And let me just dive in here just a second and say that's the reason that Hollywood has desensitized us with this idea of the walking dead. Zombies. Because the graves are going to be empty. And aliens. Because there'll be a whole lot of us that are going to be gone. And there'll be empty graves and missing people. And so what will they say? Aliens and zombies. Guys, they're wearing us down. By the way, the whole suggestion of a chip that would go in your hand or forehead that could be used to buy and sell and to include and exclude has been preached all this time and dismissed by so many. And if I didn't believe in Jesus, if I didn't believe the Bible, and I saw what was going on today with technology where you can put a chip in your hand and pay your groceries and have all your medical information. I mean, that's what we do with our animals, right? You love your dog more than you love yourself. That's what they're going to say. You love your dog more than you love your spouse or your children. Why wouldn't you put a chip in your child so you could find them? It's coming. March, we're so close, aren't we? Y'all like talking about this stuff? You like the idea of going to heaven? You like the idea that Jesus is going to come take us all home and that we're so close? Nah. Mark of the beast. Until it's here. And it's here. The vaccine passport. It was all part of the plan. Blame anybody you want to. But ultimately, it's playing into God's schedule. Because there will be a time when if you don't have the vaccine, you won't be able to fake the card because it'll be on your chip. And you either won't be able to work or buy or sell exactly like the Bible says. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. He said it. If I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, he promised he will come again to receive us. That was his promise. Secondly, he promised he would come suddenly, unexpectedly. That was his promise. And number three, he promised there would be signs. What are some of those signs? The tragedy of the destruction of the family unit. Father against his son, daughter against her mother. Broken homes, broken families, family dysfunction. Number two, increased conflict. Wars and rumors of wars. Right? He said it would happen. It's a sign of the times. Number three, he said there would be environmental signs. Al Gore's not far off. Right? But buying solar panels not going to change it. Getting you a little car that runs on solar is not going to change it. It's coming. The Bible says this, the earth will melt with a fervent heat. That's what the Bible said. That's what it says. Climate change is real, but man cannot stop it. That's the message. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3 says this, and we're seeing it. It says there'll come a falling away. There will be people who used to believe that no longer believe. There will be people who used to be servants of God who are no longer servants of God. There will be people who abandon God and His church. There will be people who reject God and His church. There will be nations who used to stand for God, who no longer stand for God and His Word. And if we have not experienced the falling away, I don't know the definition of it. And then, of course, He told us there would be the rebirth of the nation of Israel in Ezekiel. And it's happened. I believe there is nothing keeping the Lord from coming back except His calendar. There's a date set. So when is it? Is it most likely to happen at Passover? I don't know, but that's a couple of months away. You want to risk it? If you're not saved right now, you need to put Christ in your life and trust Him as your Savior. Ask His forgiveness. He died on the cross for your sins. And if you ask God's forgiveness, He will wash away every spot and every stain. Trust Him. Put your faith in Him. And then don't waste another day. Not because it's a new year, but because our days are numbered. In fact, the psalmist said, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. I don't know what the count is, but I have a feeling that most of us are counting down, not counting up. And so we need to be ready, because it's coming. Whether we go by way of the grave or by way of the rapture, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's stand. Father, there are incredible truths in Your Word, things that are hard for the natural mind to receive. Some would say it's difficult for the educated mind to receive, but I would say only for those that are not educated on Your Word, because Your Word is truth. And we put our trust in You. Just by looking around and paying attention to what's going on in the world, we know that the signs are coming to pass. You have given us signals that we are close. And we believe that. And we would serve You the rest of our days. Show us how. Show us what to do. Give us opportunity and ability. Dismiss us now with Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.